I'm going to talk about something that may totally disqualify me from the role of teacher. Spiritual teacher. On the other hand, it may also define me somewhat in that role. And if nothing else, it will try to give voice to something that may happen on the spiritual journey that I certainly am experiencing and figure I should express it honestly to all of you, just because I don't know why else I'm here. I'm going to use the word cautiously but honestly, and the word is madness. The idea of going mad. And I'm going to postulate that to some degree, the journey into awakening and beyond is from a worldly perspective, and maybe from a cosmic perspective, a kind of journey into madness. And I know some people who hear that word will think of it in kind of glorified, godlike madness, but I'm talking madness. Stuff that comes at you and robs everything that you know to be real and true, and begins to define the universe in terms that are the antithesis of everything you as a storyteller would like to have them be. For some reason, over the past few months and very much over the last few weeks, I have been experiencing this thing that I would call looking into the abyss and not liking it and wondering who is it that doesn't like it. And I talked about it a little bit because the definition of the being that is fearful of the black hole of being is a person or is an identity. And there definitely is an element of that. And it's in many ways biological. And I keep telling people, if you want to experience the biology of madness or fear, hold your breath for 5 minutes. Somewhere in that period, you'll know what I'm talking about. The thing that holds on, the thing that grasps, the thing that really loves and treasures life itself, the thing that doesn't want to ever give it up in the inevitable truth that you're going to have to. This idea of madness, for me, is playing out a little bit with moments of what I would call suddenly being in the twilight zone, or maybe on a sudden dose of LSD, like I had 50 years ago. Why it is happening at this moment in time, I can't tell you, but you can't talk it or walk it away. It is an absolute reality, and it is reality beyond the mind experiencing something as something. It is this is that. This is a world in which nothing makes sense according to the narratives that you've been taught from day one. The story of your life, the idea of finding joy and happiness and fulfillment and living happily ever after, completely evaporate in this space. It simply doesn't work. There is nothing that defines it. It comes at you as a kind of betrayal or a dark mind saying, see, I told you all the time. I mean, it's one of these really obsessively dark forces, and it's very persuasive because when it robs you of purpose, meaning, the ideas of truth, even of beauty, when all of them become basically a kind of torment rather than a gift, you have to look at it very clearly and go, yeah, why not? Why would that not be the reality? The idea that your life has had only one purpose, which was to somehow move you to this moment of madness or awakening to the mindless truth of reality. And as you go on that ride, when it starts to unfold in front of you, you are pretty helpless, because your normal mind, your Buddhist mind, your higher theosophical, theological, philosophical mind doesn't play. This obliterates that. And I am completely aware when I am in that place, when I visit that place, or when it visits me, why people go mad. It's not even a choice. It's like an unfolding into that's what this is. I mean, it does add up on a certain level. You spend your whole life looking for, searching for something, very rarely but occasionally getting it, but only to be told that now it's over, let it go. Gone, gone, gone. Nothing new here. Impermanence, right? The rules of impermanence. It's all taken away. If you have had initiatory experience or spiritual experience that allows you to witness all of this from a position a little bit outside of that space, something that is powerful beyond the mind, you will have this inkling of, don't buy into this. Don't buy this line. It's not real. It appears real. It has everything going for it. It is a kind of absolute for anyone who has never witnessed the awe, if you will, of awareness. It really comes across in a way that is very much a thief in the night. When this thing comes at me, which it has, like I said, several times in a very big way in the last several weeks of travel, when I wasn't home, the thing that I kept feeling was, I want to be home. Home meaning a place that was familiar, that was a known entity. I really wanted to be back here. On the other hand, I was not able to make that journey. I was committed to other things. One of them was going to Big Indian and teaching. And teaching in Big Indian and sharing much of what I'm sharing with you now, if not exactly these words, was one of the most powerful experiences I have ever had. Somehow, operating in spite of madness, operating through it, operating in a space that transcends it, is the muscular version of spiritual practice. It's why we learn it. Because it was only by meeting the demand that you guys and the guys in Big Indian presented, by sitting still and reaching for the way of service to provide them with a connection to this greater space, that requirement that I have somehow come to in my life was my own, if you will, salvation. Service as salvation, showing up for others as salvation. This madness thing is so potent, and I'm so aware of it in the culture. So many people in recent years have committed suicide in a very public way. And I have a total empathy for how and why they make that choice. Because when you are in that world of madness, there is nothing else. There is only one way out, or appears to be. because the option of a spiritual clarity arriving is not there. All that's there is the damnation of your own psyche. It's very heavy. And I am bringing all this up, one, to tell you that I have been witnessing this. It is real for me, and I know it's real for billions of people. And I know the power and the temptation to give in to it or to believe it is the absolute. I don't see many ways for most anyone to see beyond the corner of that full expression of worthlessness, meaninglessness, nothingness, the absolute negation of every part of the story that you hope to hold on to and make real and believe was true. Nothing. Now, that's not outside of the Buddhist Hindu teaching. It's all nothing. And the human mind, learning that, not just contemplating it and thinking about it in some pleasant spiritual way, oh, I'm nothing, or even experiencing awakening and realizing you're not this person, which is an incredible truth and reality. But then you become all there is, and you start to experience the all there is with the same vehemence of knowing that the not being permanent is a human, animalistic, biological reality. And making peace with it is a rarity. It's a rarity. How do you make peace with the reality of being nothing and watching yourself become that in such a profound way that all the good things and the kind things and the loving things and the light and the beauty and all of that as well, goes away. That phase of this journey, if in fact it is a phase of this journey, is really demanding. And I only share it with you not to scare you, not to present you with the path, because you may have very different paths and you may never touch what I'm talking about. But if you do touch this at any point, you need a kind of quiet roadmap. And I will tell you one of the key guiding points, if you can follow this and if you can listen to this, and I have to listen to it to myself every day, is the word or the sentence, even this shall pass. Even this shall pass. I remember being told when my friend David committed suicide, somebody said to me, this was a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And that really registered for me. It had been a long problem for him, but I knew it would go away. He was rising out of it, or so it appeared. But it had already taken its toll. I know people who face real struggle, fearful, disintegrating dementia, the problems of losing everything. And in a way, they have no choice and they have no control. Their minds just go, and they do enter a kind of madness. And I now believe I have been there and know that madness. It is not pretty. Nothing is recognizable. No one is knowable. Nothing that was has any impact or present tense for you. Everything is a kind of miasma of how and what and why and who, and all of this stuff. And I think almost anybody in the misery of the physical deterioration of it would give anything not to be there. We're not always given that choice. But what I keep finding in myself is life has organized me in a way to begin to do certain things that are very instructive One of them, it has helped me begin to see. And you know, I've been taking photographs and seeing life, often the decay of life, as a kind of surprising beauty. Life has allowed me to teach. The great thing about teaching is you have to offer something. You have to find a perspective, or what do you have to share? I don't want to just sit here and share misery and the idea of madness, because that alone is useless on some level. But what is meaningful is, if your journey enters the twilight zone, if you begin to see the loss of context, the loss of who you and what you are, if you can find this pathway, and trust me, when I work with you, I really try to dig into this very profoundly deep, subtle place that knows you're okay. It's okay. And to discover that place on your own is the goal of your meditative experience. Find that place and know that it's there. And know that it has a very feather-like, whisper-like reality. It's a spark of light. It's so small, but it's there. And the journey of meditation is to find it. Now, in the good days of meditation, it can be very luminous. It can be really expressive and beyond belief and fill your life and the corners of your life and the sky and the sun and the moon and the planet, and you feel vast in this light. But when all that starts to go toward ending, to the completion, to the finish, when they begin to remove everything from it, that tiny, feathery, knowable space is all you've got. And finding your way back to it, or never leaving it, if you can arrive at that, is sort of your toehold on what is. I can't make any promises because I haven't made the final journey here. And there are teachers who may have claimed to have made that final journey, but until they're biologically snuffed out, I take their words a little bit cautiously. But the final journey, I believe, based on my own spiritual efforts over time and space, take you to something that is worth it. That this practice that we do not only ennobles you in moment-to-moment reality and gives you moment-to-moment recognition of truth, of beauty, of wonder, of awe, because it does, if you wanted to. You can take any moment and just stop and go. But even as madness comes, and even as all of those stories that you used to use to give you guidance, even as all those disappear, as even my words begin to torment you down the road, you will find, if you can only go to this simple, simple place in the center of your heart and go, you'll be fine. I talk often of my mother-in-law and her journey through dementia and the fear that everybody was trying to kill her and rob her and all these things, which was real for her. We looked at it and laughed, but of course I now see exactly how that plays out. You really do believe it. It's not like you believe it as a fiction, you believe it as real. As you believe that stuff, you know, you have to go through this disintegrating journey. But at the very end, and I've told this to you many times, but it's worth bearing out, at the very end she went, just that. The kind of, what can you do? This is what is. That is what we're all headed to, every one of us. Now, if I am the only person looking at madness, experiencing it, tasting it, touching it, not liking it particularly, and I'm describing a very personalized journey, that's great. It's a story. If you find somewhere in your later years that you are having this happen as well to you and you're surprised by it, one, don't be surprised. Two, know you're not alone. Three, know that there is a navigational system inside you that will, if you sit quietly enough, calm yourself down enough, open up and basically go, or you're okay. It's really important. Or even this shall pass. You know, I have people I know who have awakened who've had traumatic aspect. You know, my friend Bart had Lyme disease and lost his mind after an awakening. And after many, many months of antibiotics and all of these things, he came back a much cleaner, clearer soul. He wasn't left without a test, if you will, of his awakened state. Baba Ram Dass had a stroke, paralyzed. He says, I was stroked. He lives a life of simple joy in a wheelchair. But he passed through an incredibly difficult, dark spot. Bart's teacher, forget his first name, Rose, was what they called him. Huh?
Peter
Rose. He had dementia at the end. And I kept going, wow, what kind of awakening is that? How can you be an awakened person and have dementia? How can you have Lyme disease? How can you have strokes? Well, I only tell you this because the spiritual fantasy is that somehow you will crawl out from beneath all of these things. You will be the one person who doesn't die. The one person who transcends death itself. Even though it's the claim made by great saints that they transcend death, I will tell you, in the end it's true. I believe in the end, you, who you are, what you are, does not die. And we can meet up in wherever you want to call it, heaven, awareness, endless ultimate consciousness, and we can hug each other, or we can recognize each other, or we will just be dissolved into the one thing we've always been. I believe that is real. But the journey beyond this world is fraught with stuff. And the thing I really love about a spiritual practice is that it provides context, a roadmap, if you will, for the journey. I do know people who don't have that, and they are kind of backing into life or through life and trying to, you know, work their way through. They're going through the drama. They may be, in a sense, blessed by not knowing. It's really possible. My oldest friend Mark, who has lived alone his entire life, has had the comfort of alcohol and cigarettes and Xanax and all of these things, and now has, I believe, given them all up, said to me yesterday on the phone that he is as content as he's ever been. He's never had a spiritual breath in his body, and he's found a kind of contentment. I said, well, you got to teach me what you're doing, because maybe there's a secret to not having to try this thing, not trying to be spiritual. Maybe that's it, that the trying itself is the manifestation of resistance and rejection and fear. I'm putting that out there, just look at that. But I will tell you, all of the answers that you have are answers that appear in your story and your narrative and work for your character and for your idea of what this is all about. But when they take away your character and your story and your ideas and your beliefs and they all go away, what's left? And trust me, the journey is into the loss of all of that. So I know this sounds really dark and really negative. And you know, as I said at the beginning, this may be the end of having anybody listen to these talks. On the other hand, I want to leave this in the record. I want this to be out there as something for those of you who begin to find this is hard, who find that life is not delivering, who find that the story is not having the happy ending you imagined or the perfection you expected or the transcendence you were waiting for. If that happens and there's a kind of sense of sadness and depression and betrayal, I can only tell you you're not alone and you're probably going to be fine in some ultimate cosmic sense, because if you can find your way into the moment, which is all any of us really have, and just be in the moment all by itself is much more pristine, beautiful, self-sustaining, enveloping, allowing, and loving than you can imagine. The only thing that robs you of that is biological pain. So, journey in, sit still, be quiet. Find that space that you have been looking for and have, I must say for all of you, had moments of living in the presence of this inner comfort, this inner love, this inner sweetness, this inner beauty, this inner spark of divinity that ultimately ignites into something full-blown and carries you to your true self. Don't be afraid of the dark passages. They are part of the process. And if my journey carries me into a deeper, brighter light at some point, and it makes the story have a happier ending, I will share that with you. If it doesn't, this is real. There is something within us that connects us to the infinite and eternal, and I really, really know and believe and feel that is the end of our journey. Somehow I want to wrap this up with a light note, but you know, I was listening yesterday to Peggy Fleming singing Danny Boy at John McCain's funeral, and it really brought me to tears, and it was so beautiful. And it was all about loss and memory and life and goodness and all the things that somehow wrap up the beauty of being alive. And I think we're all nobody fully gets how lucky they are to be here until you start to imagine it going away. So I leave you with this. Feel lucky. Okay, thank you. Do I dare ask for questions? Yeah, look, I am really prepared to tell this truth, and if it really just alienates everybody, my apologies. It's really the doorway to a bigger dialogue, honestly, which I've hesitated to get into and which I will not fully initiate now. But this thing that is happening, that's being experienced, is really going to be experienced worldwide. The world is going through it. The world is going through it. It is entering it. Most everybody's backing in without looking. But we have to prepare to deal with totality and finality and inevitability and whatever is arriving. Big challenges. And you guys will be the handholders. You guys will be the people who put your hand on people's shoulders, or take people's fists and just hold them and wish them well. It's very important.